Good morning and welcome to Community Connections with Children's Services Council of St. Lucie County. I'm just one of your hosts, Sean Boyle. With me is
Ashley Mock.
And welcome to the half hour radio and podcast show. Doesn't that sound fancy? Podcast show. It's all about connecting you, the listener, to resources and things that are available in our great community we call St. Lucie County. Now, Ashley and myself, despite years upon years of practice on podcasting and radio broadcasting, this is going to be a shocker to a lot of you. I want you to make sure you're sitting down. We are not radio show professionals. And the audience is like, we knew that from the jump.
But we figured that out a long time ago.
Yeah. Like, tell us something we don't know, Sean and Ashley. But what we do at the Children's Services Council, what we're striving to do and to get better at every single day is really this focus on these five priorities that we say all the time. I swear I say these in my sleep. I have them tattooed on my hands just in case I forget. But those priorities are: one, making sure every baby's a healthy baby; two, stopping child abuse before it happens; three, keeping kids off the streets; four, keeping them in school; and five, keeping them off drugs, alcohol, and other risky behaviors. And when I say we make these a priority, what that means is that we track community indicators related to those five areas. We develop programs and systems of care to address needs and to support families in our community. And currently, that effort includes funding and supporting 53 annual programs in our great in St. Lucie County, and which are available to all families.
And obviously, we use this show most often to talk about those programs and to share information with you so that if there is something that you are looking for your family, to share with a coworker, to share with a friend, you have the information to make those recommendations and referrals to the people in your life about the programs, accessing services. Today is going to be a little different. We're not talking about a program that we fund today, so just a little foreshadowing there. But we do share a lot of information about our programs on our Facebook page and also on our website at cscslc.org. If you've been listening in the last few weeks, you've probably heard us talk a lot about after-school programs because, believe it or not, the summer is over and the kids are in school. And if your kid is coming home every afternoon bored and getting into stuff that maybe you wish they weren't before you get home from work, we have a network of after-school programs that provide a lot of positive, safe, really interesting opportunities for kids. So if you're still looking, I know that a lot of our programs still have availability, and you can find them all on our website and learn more about what they all offer and how you can get connected to them.
So Ashley, I'm just curious because we're pre-recording a few shows here. This is obviously, by the time it airs, it's already been pre-recorded. But while we're recording, we're just in the first full week of returning to school.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, as a parent, were you excited that school was starting back up? And how long does it take for you to kind of adjust that your kids are back in school?
You know, that's a really good question. I was excited for school to start back up because my kids, and you know this about my kids, two out of three of my children function much better on a schedule. And so the summer is challenging for that because, you know, there's a lot of things that are different happening in the summer. But once we get back into school, it's kind of like back into a regularly scheduled programming, if you will. So it's like a little bit more normal. Two of three of my kids were really excited about seeing their friends. And so they were, you know, that gave them something to look forward to. I like that they have that outlet, that they have that opportunity, you know, place to kind of engage with their friends. And for the two of them that really like being in school, that's really fun to kind of talk to them about it. There's always that outlier kid that's like not happy about anything, don't want to do anything. And so I have that experience also.
Well, and you may be a little old for this, but I don't think you are. But as Meatloaf says, two out of three ain't bad. So,
that's right. We'll take the two out of three.
And I'm glad you brought up.
Middle school is weird. I'll just say that. You know, middle school is middle school.
Well, that's that transition time, right? Yeah. It's that tween stage where they're not fully, you know, that full-blown teenager, but they're transitioning into that.
Yeah. I think that's just the attitude they have about everything at this stage in life. So like everything is awful. Everything you make me do is awful.
Yeah.
So we're working through it.
I'm not going to lie. That phase lasted a little bit for my daughter when she was young. I'm just giving you a heads up.
All right. I'll buckle
in for the long haul just in case. I will say real quick before we get to our guest who's waiting very patiently. Like I said, we're pre-recording. I had the opportunity. I know, Ashley, you've got one that you're doing later this week, but to participate in a Tunnel of Hope, which again is an initiative through our Kids at Hope funded program through the Roundtable. And it's the belief that all children are capable of success, no exceptions. And so each start of the school year, they do Tunnels of Hope where volunteers come and you literally create a tunnel and the kids walk through it and you cheer them on and tell them they're going to have a great year and give high fives and you hold signs. And it's a great experience. I just did one this morning and I forgot because it's been a year, right? And so you forget, it's a couple of things. One, you always want to hang around law enforcement and the fire department because they get all the attention, right? Because they're in uniforms. I'm just some guy in a CSC polo shirt, you know, holding a sign that said you are smart. But I forget the awkwardness of you put your hand out there for high fives or fist bumps and some of them are all over it and some of them just pass right by. You're like, okay. Because it can be a little overwhelming for some kids, for sure.
Yeah. You got to develop some thick skin for that so that you don't take it personally.
But, I know. I was sitting next to a woman. Sure.
I was just going to say, just because we're talking about it, we have the schedule up on Facebook and on our website. So if anybody still wants to do that, it's a really fun experience. And obviously, you know, we want to show up and make sure that our kids know we're showing up for them. So it's really fun.
And more than likely, by the time this airs, it will have already well passed. But this is just to give you a heads up for next school year to start planning. All right.
For sure.
All right. I'm going to let in our guest, Ashley.
Okay. So when we don't talk to our programs on our show, we like to bring in experts. So today... we have an expert, and we have had the opportunity over probably the last year or so to work really closely with her, and she is providing that expertise, I guess, to our community and to our funded program partners, and we have just been really excited about what that has looked like for us. And so we wanted to share a little bit about what that has done, that process, and kind of where that we think that that's going. And so Jody Riley is with us today. I called her an expert. She probably would argue that, but I think it's accurate information. And she is a grant writing professional that we are really lucky to have here in our community. And she's done some amazing work with a lot of nonprofit partners through the community. And so we wanted to kind of talk about that a little bit today and highlight some of the things that are happening and just kind of introduce Jody to everybody too, because she's become a big part of our CSC family over the last year. So Thank you for joining us.
That was so sweet. I don't think anybody ever says that stuff about me. That's so nice, Ashley.
We're a family. We say that our programs are in our family. So you get to be in our family too.
And Jody, it's recorded. So you have evidence that she said that.
Okay. I'm going to keep that. I'm going to play that back on every birthday. But that's okay.
Absolutely.
Any day you feel down, just rewind. Yes.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me and also for the wonderful introduction. And I definitely feel the same about you all. I feel like our community could not function as it does, especially for the health and well-being of our children without CSC and the work that you all put in. So thank you so much for everything that you do, not just for me, but for our entire community. You all are amazing.
All right. With all those kind words, we'll wrap up the show. Thanks. But I'm kind of excited. I am excited to have you on, Jody, because, you know, we speak, you know, the show, as Ashley mentioned, highlights a lot of nonprofits, but a lot of people out there have ideas, right? And we often field a lot of those. And I know you do as well, Jody. And usually I think people don't understand when you talk about, hey, I want to help the community. I want to develop this program. I got this idea. Kind of the underlying thing that's underneath all that, that nobody really talks about when you go through school and you learn about how to help people, is the art and the skill of grant writing, because most of those ideas that people have requires funding. And the most consistent and oftentimes the most recognizable way that nonprofits get funding is actually by writing grants and developing proposals.
Yep. And it's a huge consideration when you go to develop a program, you know, thinking about what the gap in the community is, where is there a need that you can fill, not duplicating programs that are already in existence, because it's some, you know, you think just because you think it's a good idea doesn't mean it's a need or it's something that's going to be relevant or that it has the ability to be sustainable. So I think like having a great idea is like the very, very beginning baby step of the like, essentially like cake baking episode of creating a program, right? So like, that's like step one is like, you just turned the oven on, that's it. And then from there, you've got to gather all your other ingredients, right? Like, you know, understanding the needs of your community, building partnerships with other nonprofits, learning about the funding opportunities in the community, and then going from there. And it's definitely the long game, you know, grant writing. I always tell clients this and everyone really that it's not a triage. It's not there for emergency purposes for the most part. It's the long game. It's, you know, 4 to 6 months out for funding and something that is there to carry your program forward and move it forward and create impact and not to fix a, you know, what did they say? Put a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. Definitely not.
And it's funny because I like that expression. Like, I turn the oven on. Where's my cake? You know, like, because actually we've had those conversations with people. They're like, I turn the oven on. Where's the cake? And we're like, whoa, slow down. You got to add some ingredients in here, right? So we have partnered with you. And anyone in our listening audience is obviously invited to attend on the second Friday of each month at 9 a.m. in our training room / boardroom / just open space, something that we've called Coffee with the Grant Writer. And the grant writer listening audience is Jody. And the coffee is provided by us. And it's what I like about it. It's very informal. So you can come with your questions loaded and pepper them to Jody, or you can just come and listen, because oftentimes the best learning opportunities are hearing what other people are struggling with and or have questions on. And if nobody says anything, we all just don't sip coffee and look at each other. Jody always has something prepared just in case. But the idea being kind of the education and understanding of what it really takes to have a ongoing impactful nonprofit is, again, the skill of grant writing.
Yeah. And I love our sessions because I think that, you know, a lot of people don't understand how to access a grant writer, how it works. And those sessions are just, like you said, that informal nature allows anyone to come, even if they're just in the idea phase of, oh, I might want to start a nonprofit or I might want to start a new program. They can come and just learn and absorb information, which I think has been really invaluable. And also it's a great time, right? Because we're not in a formal setting. It's not really a training and more of just ask your questions, get your answers. And it's free because you all provide that for the community, like so many other things. It's really just such a great program. I love it. I enjoy it so much.
One of the things that's been interesting about the sessions is that, kind of as you mentioned, like everyone kind of comes in at a varying level of accessing a grant writer, right? Like, so some of the people have really well-designed, well-thought-out programs. Some of them are just in the beginning stages. It's kind of like a really good mixing pot, if you will, of people at varying levels of grant writing, of nonprofits, of programming. And so that kind of gives itself, like you talked about, gives people the opportunity to access other successful nonprofits. Like, they learn from each other and from you. And I think it's a really well-rounded way to get them all kind of in the same room talking about the same thing.
Absolutely. And I really enjoy too that, like, you know, we talk about grant writing, but it leads into so many other conversations, right? Like, how, you know, how does your board development relate to grant writing? How does your program development or your budget or your operating budget, like all of those pieces are a part of what makes a successful nonprofit and translates into your grant application. So we're having deep conversations about some really stuff that beyond just writing a grant or completing that application, but really the components that make it, you know, work for everyone. And so I love that, that we can address all of those concepts through from a grant writing standpoint, which I think has been a really great surprise throughout this these sessions.
So I know some of our, as I mentioned at the top, some of our listening audience, and I'm thinking of like Mary Sermons and Betty Bradwell and some of the people that we know listen consistently. I know they have in the past either looked for grant funding or have thought about developing programs or quite honestly are already actively doing just that. But if somebody's listening and they're like, you know, I've always had this idea for a program. What I'm hearing you say is that I got to kind of get some stuff in line before I even think about writing a grant or looking for funding. What are some of those items that they need to, you know, maybe to the three of us, it seems so obvious, but sometimes I think for people that are in it, they sometimes forget like, oh yeah, I got to have that.
Yeah. So there's a lot to put in place. But I would say like what I probably would start with is we actually have a list of documents that we ask clients to provide to us. And some of those documents, really the purpose of that is to make sure I can gauge grant readiness. Like, is that nonprofit? If it has all those documents in place, it's probably ready to appeal to funders for grants. So we look for things like an operating budget, program budget, obviously 501c3 letter from the IRS, making sure that they actually like are a nonprofit legally. That's a little important. Also, past tax forms, so 990s that have been filed, past financials, we look for that, as well as like a mission vision statement, an outline of programs, any all of those documents help us determine where that nonprofit is at as far as grant readiness. And we try very hard, at least at my firm, to take a no wrong door approach. So even if a nonprofit doesn't have those documents in place, we're able to assist from a grant writing or fund seeking standpoint to make sure that a nonprofit can develop those things over time and get to the point of grant readiness. So not only are we doing grant writing, but we totally help with grant readiness too, because it's hard. There's no, you know, playbook out there for exactly what you need, you know, before you start this. Every nonprofit's so different.
Right. And I think, you know, obviously the first step is the 501c3, right? Because if you're not a 501c3, that's really going to kind of prohibit you from majority of grant opportunities and even fundraising opportunities. But, you know, there is some things that, you know, once they've got all that, you know, and I'm thinking back, Ashley, like, you know, having in past life written grants and stuff, there is some stuff that you can have like already created, right? Like at some point, like you said, they're going to ask for your mission and vision statement. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't have a mission statement, then, you know, that's bigger than grant writing. You got to figure out really what is your central point of focus. But I can remember like we always had templated, like the history of our organization was already always templated. It was updated like every couple of years, but the history really doesn't change that much. And at some point they're going to ask you about the background or the capacity of your organization. So that's always something good that you can kind of have written and ready, locked and loaded, so you're not spending your time recreating the wheel, if you will.
Oh, yeah. I always tell everyone I'm a big fan of Google Docs for saving all of those kind of like templated things or boilerplate things that you're going to, you know, pretty much be explaining to every funder, and not just funders, but on your website and everywhere else when you're asked about your organization. So those are super important to have kind of ready to go when asked, and makes it easier, right? Work smarter, not harder.
Exactly. And do you give any advice? I'm just curious, when you work with clients about how to approach funders? Because trust me, we've heard it all here, you know, being part of the community, but also, you know, for lack of a better, another way to describe us, a funder. You know, we've had the, you know, you go into a meeting, you're like, did they want something from us? I'm not really sure what that was about, to, you know, basically shaming us into funding. Have you like, do you talk to your clients about how to approach funders?
Yeah. So we have big conversations about building relationships and how to go about that. And one thing that I really focus on is being organized. So it can get exciting and overwhelming when you're in front of a funder for the first time or the first few times as a nonprofit that hasn't done a lot of grant writing in the past. And you can kind of, in your speaking to them, go down all different rabbit holes that kind of don't lead to the point. So I always say, like, have a plan, have the bullet pointed list of things that you want to point out about your program that are going to be reflected in your future grant applications, and explain that, explain where you're headed and what your ask is, and explain what is needed. And then the funder kind of works with you to meet in the middle somewhere if they can, or gives you some usually guidance on how to proceed, even if they're not the right entity for you to seek funding from. So I think just like an organized conversation is my biggest piece of advice for nonprofits that are going to speak with funders. And then also just to be always gracious and grateful, because, you know, this is, you're making a request. Like, you can't walk in there and be like, it's not the bank, you're not withdrawing your own money, right? So they have to, you know, just consider that it's something that, you know, those long-term partnerships are built with funders like you all. And, you know, that first meeting is so important to set the tone of that relationship long-term. And it can be years and years. I'm sure there's programs that you all have funded for a decade or more. And those, you know, you have to have those really great relationships. Grant writing definitely just isn't about the writing. It's more so about the long-term impact with funders as a partner.
I think too, one of the other things that I know that you do for your clients, but also for the community, is sourcing new funding opportunities and new funding places. And I know from, you've got groups on Facebook where you share that information and on your Facebook page often. But I think that is another thing that we kind of talk about kind of internally, not to get too far into the weeds, but for programs and for agencies to have multiple funding sources, not just one. We, as the Children's Services Council, will not fund an agency 100%, will not fund a program 100%. So being able to identify other opportunities for additional funding, even partnerships that could offer additional funding, I think is something that you do with your team that is accessible to other nonprofits that maybe we should draw some attention to so people could take a look at that.
Sure. So we refer to that as prospecting or grant prospecting. And we have one of the ways that we do that, just to be a good partner in our nonprofit community, right, is that, as you mentioned, Ashley, we share that in our Facebook group and on our page. We share like one a week of funding entities, and we try to vary it, you know, so it's not just focused on children or just focused on animals or just focused on environmental, but they're all over the place. So we always share at least one funding entity that is usually relevant to the, at least Florida, if not our local area here on the Treasure Coast, to try and just give some information and, you know, like I said, be a good partner. And then we also offer, of course, the service for targeted and focused grant prospecting, where we'll do it for a nonprofit client based on their mission, their vision, their values, their projects or programs that are coming up, and their geographic location. And we'll tailor that to their specific program. So we definitely, and we teach grant prospecting all the time. It's part of our courses. It's part of what we talk about and what we do, because it's really the first step is, you know, making that list of funders that make sense to apply to, and not wasting your time or theirs, because your goals don't align.
And so we've got about 5 minutes left on the show. Obviously, we're going to ask everybody, if you're interested, if you've ever thought about grant writing, if you've ever had an idea for a program and you're like, hey, maybe I need to take this to the next level from out of my head to actually moving it towards reality. I can't emphasize enough the importance of understanding grant writing, because if you understand grant writing, then you know the importance of program development, proposal development, surveying the needs of your community, because all that's reflected in a grant proposal. I would encourage you to, again, second Friday of each month at 9 a.m. at our office, right across from the Met Stadium, free coffee to learn all the wisdom that Jody provides and learn. And the other cool thing, I don't know if you've noticed this, Ashley, is there's like kind of relationships being formed by the regular attendees who see each other there, and they're starting to have exchanges. But having said all that, I'm really leading to the question, if somebody's like, you know what, I don't need to go to Coffee with a Grant Writer, I'd rather just talk to Jody directly and find out what resources she provides through her company. How do they get a hold of you, Jody?
Okay, sure. The website's the best way for sure. It's JodyRileyLLC.com. There's, our newsletter is there. Again, we share funding information through our newsletter too, which is great. And then all of our social media is linked there, how to contact us, our services, everything. Everything is right on our website. So it's JodyRileyLLC.com. And so works out really well. Although I would still encourage you to come to Coffee with a Grant Writer, because you mentioned the relationships, the collaboration that happens there and just happens in St. Lucie County in general. We're such a collaborative, awesome community. And I love to think that like Coffee with a Grant Writer is a catalyst for that. So if you can come, it would be great. But if you can't, the website is also a really good way to get in touch with us.
And you also mentioned the Book of Face, or commonly referred to as Facebook. I know that you also have a presence on there. Do you want to give everybody your what name to look up on Facebook?
It's just Jody Riley Consulting LLC, and you'll find all of our Facebook page information there. You can also join our group, which is Nonprofit Deeper Development, and that is a spinoff of our academy where we teach grant writing, because again, we're trying to make it accessible for everyone. So not everyone may be able to afford a grant writer, but everyone, I think, can afford to learn from us. So we try to make that as accessible as possible. So again, it's Jody Riley Consulting LLC on Facebook. Our group is Nonprofit Deeper Development. Anyone can join. Everyone is welcome to access our information. We're happy to share.
And I think it's important. I like the Facebook group. I'm a member of it. And I know you post stuff on there frequently. And it's like free tips and free advice and free resources. So definitely take advantage of that. And I will also say in the new year, in October, we are going to be rolling out some opportunities, capacity building opportunities in partnership with Jody to move beyond just the coffee with a grant writer, but to actually some grant writing courses. So we'll make sure that our listening audience and everybody is well aware of those opportunities too.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to all of that. And again, this is just another piece of all the collaboration that we do so well here. So happy to be a part of it.
We got a couple minutes left. Just curious if you could anybody, okay, let's say I'm sitting listening and I'm like, you know what? I've always had this idea for a program. What's the one thing that anybody needs to make sure is solid and ready to go before they even pursue $1 of financing?
I would say the legal establishment of your nonprofit. Can I say three things? I know you said one.
Absolutely.
Okay. So the legal establishment of your nonprofit, and I'm talking about not just your IRS registration, but a lot of something is missed often is SunBiz. Your entity needs to be registered with SunBiz. And then also Florida Division of Agriculture and Consumer Services. You need to register as a nonprofit with them to be able to collect charitable donations in the state of Florida. That's really important. That's also, I carry licensing through them as well, because grant writers in Florida have to be licensed. So I think that's something that nonprofits miss. So there's three registrations in the state of Florida that are super important. And those have to be done, like step one. Step two, have a financial plan and a budget and stick to it. And then step three, establish that mission, vision, and those programs. And if you have that started, that is a good jump point for us to be able to have a conversation with you about where we think your nonprofit stands as far as funding.
Awesome. And I'm glad you brought that up about SunBiz in Florida. I don't even think our system, when you apply for a grant, if you're not registered in SunBiz, it's like Monopoly. Just stop right here. You can't go any further. So I'm glad you brought that up. All right. We are out of time. Thank you so much, Jody, for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
And a reminder, look up Jody Riley Consulting LLC, or I'm sorry, don't look it up. Just type in Jody with an I, JodyRileyLLC.com, or look for it on Facebook. Join her nonprofit funding group, and or attend Coffee with the Grant Writer on the second Friday of each month at 9 a.m. at our office. We have the signed contract. We're going to do it for another full year. We're very excited about that. And a reminder that it's a weekly radio program that airs every Sunday on 104.5 The Flame at 10 a.m. If you happen to miss that, don't fear, don't fret. Just download the podcast version. Even works on iPhones. Just pop up or look up Community Connections with Children's Services Council. And through the magic of the interwebs, it will be there. And a simple reminder that it's our children, our community, our future. Now more than ever, folks, we're all in this together. We'll see you next time.